Well, good morning, UAC family. It is so good to be with all of you. Pastor Daniel mentioned just a moment ago that I grew up in the Philippines. Any Filipinos here in the house? Mabuhay, mabuhay, which means life. It's a common Filipino greeting that we say. Since 1924, the Philippines has joined and participated in almost every Summer Olympics. But for almost 100 years, they've never won a gold medal. They've come close. A few silvers, a few bronze. But a gold medal eluded them for so long. Until just a few years ago, 2021, this fantastic lady appeared on the scene. Her name, Hidalyn Diaz. And she won the very first gold medal for the Philippines in weightlifting. Amazing. Amazing. I can imagine the amount of effort, the massive amount of effort that she put into her life so that one day she could perhaps compete in the Olympics, perhaps win a gold medal. This wasn't just working out for one day or 2 days or even months. This was years of training, year after year after year. And not just training, I wonder the kind of maybe disappointments that she had, the struggles, the doubts in her mind to compete on this particular level. And after years and years and years of training, finally, the joy of being able to stand there with what she desired, that gold medal. The title of today's message is Slow Hope. Hidalyn had a hope. One day she'd be able to compete in the Olympics. One day perhaps win a medal. One day perhaps win the gold medal. She had hope, but that hope was a slow hope. It's something that can't happen right away. And for good reason. The best athletes in the world train for years so that they can display their physical prowess at some point in time. Today we're going to talk a little bit about having hope in the midst of trials and the sufferings that come along with those trials as well. And if it seems like to you that we've been talking a lot about trials lately, well, that's the book of James, isn't it? From the very first chapter, when Pastor Daniel opened this particular sermon series, right off the bat, of all the topics that James could choose, he decides to talk about trials. And here we are again, towards the end of this letter that James wrote, and we're again exploring, navigating this topic of trials. And I think that's a good thing. Because as we're going to find out today, these trials that we're going through, they don't necessarily end right away. We may pray about it today and we ask God, God, can you do something right here, right now with this situation? And perhaps the Lord will do something right here, right now. We ask for it in Jesus' name. But other times, it takes a while. A long while before those trials may resolve, before God does something, before God shows up. And so it's okay for us to hear another message that speaks on this. Last week we were encouraged. We're still in that trial today. God, I need another word of encouragement just to get by this next week. Well, here it is. Some of you might be going through physical ailments, financial issues, broken relationships, grief, whatever it is. The Lord, our God, has something to say about that. And James chapter 5 brings us an encouragement. I want to begin by reiterating the purpose of trials and suffering. As James mentions it in this letter. If you go right to the middle of this passage here, you'll see James say something about an example. For examples of patience in suffering, dear brothers and sisters, look at the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Look at this. We give great honor, right? We admire, in some sense, certain people that we see in Scripture who went through trials and suffering, right? We give great honor to those who, look at this word, to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job. We're not going to talk about Job today, but you should read his story, a man who went through a lot of trial, a lot of suffering in his life. And he was a man of, here's that word again, a man of great endurance. It's not the first time we're seeing that word endurance. On that very first message that Pastor Daniel spoke on trials and troubles, you can think of today's message as part two to that. It says in James chapter 1, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, you're going through a trouble of a certain kind, troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Great joy. Why? Because he says this, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. One of the reasons, certainly many reasons why trials and troubles come our way, but according to James, one of the major reasons why God allows troubles and trials in our lives, and sometimes not just allows, but as we see in Scripture, sometimes God leads us in places where we will encounter trials and troubles. One of the purposes is so that we would grow our endurance. We will have endurance in this race of faith. We will have endurance in our walk with God. We will grow our faith. I like the ESV translation of that word. It uses the word steadfastness. We will learn to be steadfast to God in the midst of these trials, not just now, but in the future, when things could possibly get harder, when we can encounter more issues, more trials in life. If you think you're going through something now, possibly in the future, we don't know what the future holds. It's a dark world. There's a lot of problems in our world today. I don't know what we're going to encounter in the future. But we're learning to have endurance now to navigate what's coming up in the future. So these trials, these troubles that we're experiencing that lead to suffering have the potential to grow us. You remember what Pastor Daniel had said. We should see hardship not as abandonment. God hasn't abandoned us. But we see hardship as formation. How many of you has ever said to yourself, I want to have deeper faith. How many of you have ever said, I want to see some miracles in my life? I want to have faith that can move mountains. Like what Jesus said. You guys want that? How many of you want faith that can move mountains? An extreme faith. I don't see any hands. Oh, we sang a song just a moment ago. There was a lyric that repeated. I was wondering to myself, would people sing this? Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me. I've always wanted to be in a band. Maybe Keisha will invite me, I don't know. But I wonder, do we really know what we're singing, that prayer? It seems a little dangerous. Spirit, lead me where my trust is going to be with no borders. There's going to be no limit to my trust in what God can do. Well, how do you think God will teach you to have trust without borders? Well, yes, God can imbibe a faith in me that's so incredible right here, right now. I believe that. But when we look at Scripture, and we look at how God designed human beings to be, there's a particular way that God wants us to learn trust, faith. And it's true training. He trains us to have faith without borders, and he trains us with the circumstances that we go through in life, especially our troubles. Our trials, our storms of life have the potential to train us to have that kind of trust, to have that kind of faith that will move mountains. You want to have an extreme faith in God? I want that. I've said that. I just read a book recently, the biography of Brother Andrew, God's Smuggler, and some amazing stories in there of how he smuggled Bibles into communist countries that were that didn't allow Bibles to be read. And he smuggled Bibles in there. One of his famous prayers was, make seeing eyes blind. The border guards who were checking his luggage and cars wouldn't see like a stack of Bibles that were there. Incredible. And I found myself saying, God, I want faith like that. But I wonder, what kind of situations will God allow in my life? Or maybe even lead me so I can have that kind of faith. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is when God leads the Israelite people out of Egypt, and he leads them. He gives them the coordinates. I want you to camp right here next to the Red Sea. He led them there. And what does Pharaoh do, right? We know the story. Pharaoh's like, let's get the Israelites back. Let's go after them. He takes his whole army, and the whole army heads over to the Red Sea where the Israelite people are. They find themselves in an extreme situation, a situation where their back is against the wall, a back against the water, if you will. They're not soldiers. They don't got weapons. They got their families with them. They were slaves for hundreds of years. God, what is going on? They're going to be slaughtered by the Egyptians. Now, here's a question. Did God have to let it get to that point? Couldn't have God done something so much earlier? Maybe change Pharaoh's mind? Don't go chasing them? There's a funny part in that story a scene where the Israelite people are crossing the Red Sea, the chariots are chasing after them, and God causes the chariot wheels to like become heavy, slow down. They're unable to keep up with, you know, this group of people walking out into the other side. God, couldn't you like make the chariot wheels slower earlier? Like a few miles away? God lets them get to this extreme back against the water point so that they can learn to have extreme faith in God who showed up in such an extreme way. Friends, if you're going through trials, troubles of different kinds, I believe God is using that to train you in faith. Not just for today, but in the future. Who knows what will happen in the future? But you're going to need that faith with you. One of my favorite proverbs is found in Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Think about it. If you faint in the day of adversity, a day of adversity comes and you faint. You're not able to go through it. It's just telling you that your strength is small. You haven't taken the time to train, to build yourself up in your faith so that when that day of adversity comes, you're able to go through it no matter how hard it is. So not just for today, but we're preparing for tomorrow. But also, if you think about it, we as believers believe that we can move mountains. That's what Jesus said. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it'll be done. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. We got to help people move their mountains, encourage them to move their mountains. But I wonder, can we really serve people in encouraging them to move their mountains if we've never moved a mountain ourselves? God's training us to move mountains so we can help others too. A second thing to look at today is the length of time that sometimes we have to go through with our trials. And James calls for patience right at the beginning of this passage. It says, dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. And he gives an example of a farmer. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and the spring. They eagerly look for the valuable harvest to ripen, right? Not everything in life comes right away. Many things in life, it will take a time. It will take a season. It will take years. Anybody who's ever gone through an illness, an ailment of some sort, or who's taken care of somebody who's gone through an ailment knows it could be a while before this ordeal resolves. That's why James calls for patience, because he knows some things just could take a really long time. And that's part of the process. It's part of the process. Nobody who wants to be a world-class athlete, a bodybuilder, goes to the gym one day and is like, ooh, look at me. My first day at the gym. I'm ready. I'm ready to compete. I'm ready to look good. No, it takes years to build that physical muscle. And when it comes to our spiritual strength, I also believe that it takes time. Our spiritual strength is built over time. And it is built with ever-increasing complex spiritual challenges. I think of the many people in Scripture that we admire. Joseph, David, Moses. So many people went through so much and for such a long time. And it looked like, if you read their stories, their situations get harder and harder and harder. Well, that's so that their faith can be strong in the end, I believe. That's one of God's reasons for that. That we'll build our spiritual muscles through more complex spiritual challenges. The bodybuilder who's used to 10-pound weights, if he keeps doing that, won't do much. He's got to get a challenge. 50 pounds, maybe, I don't know, 100 pounds, is that possible? But just keeps on going and going. More complex challenges. We went through a series on David recently. I loved it. And there's one scene in the life of David that always breaks my heart. I don't know if we spoke on it here, but did we speak on Ziklag? Does anybody remember Ziklag? Did we go through Ziklag on the sermon? Oh man, one of these days, somebody's got to preach on Ziklag. You know that David was anointed king very early on in the story. God said, you're going to be king. He believed that, but it took a really long time for him to become king. Very long time. And the amount of trials that he had to go through, running away from King Saul so many times, his life was in danger. So many times. And then Ziklag happens. Do you know what happened at Ziklag? While David and his men were out on a mission, they left their families behind. They came back, families were gone. Captured by the Amalekites, kidnapped, everything. Their children, their wives, not just his, but his men, they came back to nothing. Can't imagine coming home to nothing. And they cried so much that they didn't have any more strength in them to cry. And they were so angry, so dismayed, they wanted to kill David. They wanted to stone him. How much can a person take? God, the guy's gone through so much already. And then this? There's a beautiful line in that story. It says, and David strengthened himself in the Lord. It's another piece of training for my endurance, that I will remain steadfast to God. He wasn't a perfect king, but he ended up becoming an amazing king because he learned to remain steadfast in God through all those years. If you feel like you're just leaving one trial only to enter another trial that is seems much harder, and you leave that one only to enter into another trial that seems much harder too, you're in good company. A lot of Bible stories on that. Welcome, friends, to your training of faith. We'll end up becoming hardened soldiers for Christ in his kingdom work. Here's the promise, though. God's presence, the presence of God in the midst of trials and suffering. We see God appear in this passage multiple times. Dear brothers, sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. There was this belief that God could come back anytime. And when he does, he will take care of us. You go towards the end, take courage, for the coming of the Lord is near. God is going to show up. If you look at the life of Job, right towards the end of that passage in verse 11, you can see how the Lord was kind to Job at the end, after going through all that. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. We see this in Scripture, that God will, we believe this, God will show up somehow, some way. I may not know how God's going to show up, but he will show up somehow, some way. If it's the Jesus coming back again for the second time, that's one way. If God shows up in the midst of my issues right now and brings a solution that I've never thought of, that is another way. Whatever God chooses to do, it will be full of tenderness and mercy. And we see this throughout Scripture, from parting the Red Sea, from making David king, from helping Joseph become second in command in Egypt. We see it time and time again, even though it took a very long time. God was with them. God is with you. And he shows up. Let me end with some practical things for today. Practices while we're enduring trials and suffering. The first practice that I want to point out based on this passage here, let's encourage each other through our trials and suffering. Let's not grumble, says in James chapter 5, verse 9. Don't grumble about each other, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. For look, the judge is standing at the door. Don't grumble, but we encourage. What happens when we grumble? We discourage ourselves. It's just showing something that's within us, right? When we grumble, where's the faith in God? I think of the Israelite people grumbling to Moses when they couldn't find water, they couldn't find food, they wanted to go back to Egypt. Is God with us? And they had already seen the sea split wide open for them. They grumbled. Instead of grumbling, they should have inquired of God, God, what do you want to do about this situation? You can help us. We believe that. And God will show up. But they grumbled and they discouraged each other. You think of the 12 spies that went to look at the promised land. They came back. 10 of them brought a bad report. We can't take it. We're like grasshoppers. We're going to be slaughtered. We can't do it. Only two, Caleb and Joshua, believed that we can take the promise and we can do it. They grumbled. And what happened? Everybody got discouraged. Everybody's faith started to falter. And a whole generation could not enter the promised land. Even though they could have entered it right then and there, they were not allowed to. So instead of grumbling with each other about our trials, we encourage each other. The second thing, in the midst of our trials, we keep our integrity. James calls us to honesty, but most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no so that you will not sin and be condemned. He's calling us to keep our integrity strong. Because when you're going through trials, challenges, whatever they may be, it's tempting It's tempting to maybe cut corners. It's tempting to take the easy way out. As Pastor Daniel mentioned in business, it's hard. You're tempted all the time to do something that, you know, you can find a loophole in, or to cut corners here and there. There's a temptation when things are hard to do things not in the King's way, but to do things in the world's way. Psalm 37, verse 34 says, "Wait for the Lord." And while you're waiting for the Lord, it says this, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land." While you're waiting for God to show up in the midst of these situations, he's probably already there helping you. But for these situations that you're going through to resolve, while you're waiting, friends, can I encourage you, do not water down the King's vision. Don't water down the King's vision for your life, how he wants you to live, how he wants you to behave, how he wants you to act. Don't water down the King's vision. We keep his way, even when it's hard. And then finally, a third practice. You too must be patient. Take courage, he says, for the coming of the Lord is near. Take courage. I like the ESV translation. It says, establish your hearts, it says. Well, how am I going to establish my heart in the midst of all these things that I'm going through? We do exactly what David did. And he strengthened himself in the Lord. Friends, those times of prayer every day, those times of reading scripture, times of reflection, I journal every day. Me being with God, reflecting on scripture, writing it down so that I can reread it day after day, it keeps me going through my own trials in life. You strengthen yourself in the Lord. I invite you, if you're not reading scripture yet, you'll find some amazing stories there. It's no wonder that James goes and says, consider the prophets. Consider Job. Look back to how people of faith did it. What they went through. Amazing. It'll bring us encouragement today. Let me end with one more story from the Bible. You guys know King Hezekiah? He was a relatively good king, strong king. And I've been reading Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And for the longest time, I avoided Isaiah because it's long and it's full of, like, you know, poems. And it's hard to read. But when you're going through tough times in life, Isaiah is amazing. Isaiah is great. But King Hezekiah had an illness. And the prophet Isaiah said to Hezekiah, get your house in order. This illness you're not going to recover from. You're going to die from it. And Hezekiah prayed. So much. Tears, words, wailing, whatever it is. He prayed to God. Isaiah, the prophet, comes back. And he says these beautiful words. I have heard your prayers, and I have seen your tears. God was speaking to Hezekiah through Isaiah. I have heard your prayers. He's heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. And God granted Hezekiah another 15 years. God showed up, didn't he? A few moments later in that chapter in Isaiah, Hezekiah wrote something. I think it's a poem of some sort. And there's a line that just got me a few weeks ago. Hezekiah said this. It was for my welfare that I had great bitterness. It was for my welfare that I had great bitterness. Who has great bitterness today? I want you to know God hears your prayers. He sees your tears. We strengthen ourselves in the Lord every day. We're going to learn together to move this mountain that's right in front of us, whatever that may be. We're going to train our endurance, train our faith. And may we say in the end, it was for my welfare, that I had great bitterness. Jesus, you see what we face, the mountain that's before us. And you tell us to have faith, even as small as a mustard seed. Can we muster that kind of faith today, Lord? Believing the Lord. What seems impossible to us is possible to a great and awesome God. And so we ask for your help now, first for our faith to grow, and then for you, Lord, to show what you've had in mind all along. In Jesus' name, amen.